Good morning. So glad to have so many here today. Look at a full church. Isn't that wonderful? On a holiday weekend, thank you all so much for coming and sharing your weekend with us here at Seymour Christian Church. As it was mentioned before, this is a children's service. And who can guess what our theme for this month is? Anybody? Okay, yeah, a lot of the kids are over here getting ready for later, so I'm going to have to rely on some of the older kids to help me with the first few questions. Exactly right. It is timeless. What does timeless mean? If something is timeless, what is it? Oh, just shout them out, because
it lasts.
It's different. What'd you say?
Never goes away.
Yes, in the back row. Eternity. Excellent. Yeah. Things that are timeless are things that do not end. And we're going to be talking today about how God is with us all the time. God's being present and with us is timeless. He is always with us wherever we go. Time's a funny thing. I want to show you a few pictures here. See if you can guess how many years ago this event took place, if you would, please. How many years ago did this happen? Somebody was here probably when that happened. 90? Ooh, we're getting closer. 1908, 117 years ago, the Wright brothers down in Kitty Hawk got the first plane airborne. Okay, the next picture. This happened how many years ago? 70's pretty close. Somebody hit it. 80, good job. 80 years ago, 1945, the flag was raised on Iwo Jima. All right, who knows how many years ago? Now we're going to start getting personal here. How many years ago did this happen?
50.
We're pretty close. 56. Really good job. It was 1969 when the first man walked on the moon. And here's where it really starts getting personal. There's little Danny Weaver's in that picture. I know you're looking for the bald one. But I had hair in first grade. I am top row, second from the right in the beautiful striped shirt. You know, they always told the parents what day picture day was going to be, so you'd wear your best shirt. And there we have it. So there's little Danny Weaver. That would have been the 70-71 school year. So okay. First of all, can anybody guess who this is? He's in the room right now. That's Brother Wayne as a high school offensive guard, right, brother? Wayne, how many years ago was this picture? How many years ago were you an offensive guard? About 50 years ago. Good job. All right, next picture. That's Brother Brad running our lights board back there, yeah. Brad, how many years ago was that?
Like 15.
15 years ago, so you were 7 at the time. All right, that's perfect. All right, this one. Aww. Can we guess who this is? Yeah, it's Brother Pastor, Brother Stephen. All right, Stephen, oh, can we go back? How many years ago was that, brother?
I don't know, a long time ago.
Longer than Brad's? Okay, it's all in perspective. And the last one we've got, this is Brother Matthew trying out. Are you buying golf clubs there, brother?
Sure.
How many years ago?
I think 10 or 11.
Yeah. And what got me is I was preparing all these, he said about 10 or 11 years if you didn't hear him, was I am older than the man landing on the moon. I was putting those together, and I was in first grade at age, or in 1970, but in 1969, man was walking on the moon. And I was like, wow, how time flies. Anybody in here older than the flag plant on Iwo Jima? That was 80 years ago, yeah. Remember that? Wow, how time flies. Time is always moving forward. But everything else is limited by time. Everything except for God, His love, and His presence in our lives. If we had a time machine and say we went back 1,000 years to the year 1025, everything would be different, wouldn't it? We couldn't even talk to people. The language has changed so much in 1,000 years, we wouldn't know how to be transported. We wouldn't recognize the food. We wouldn't be able to do anything. But you know what? If I went back 1,000 years, God would be there, and He would be with me, and He would love me, and He would have a plan for me. If I went forward the same 1,000 years, if I went to 3025, I wouldn't be able to talk to people. I wouldn't have any money that would work. I wouldn't know how to transport myself or feed myself. But you know what? God would be there. God would be with me, and God would love me, and He would have a plan for me. That comforts me. That comforts me. All right, we're going to talk today about the prophet Ezekiel. Let me do a couple more things, and then we're going to get on with our message for today. The prophet Ezekiel. First of all, we're going to talk about what is a prophet. What is a prophet? God used lots of prophets in olden times. What is a prophet? Okay, yeah, they spoke God's word. It was during the time of the kings when God wanted the king to be the leader of His people, but many times the kings were not the leaders in the right direction. So God would call up a man or a woman who He would give His message to the prophet. Then the prophet would speak to the king, and the prophet would speak to the people. Were they popular? Were they loved? Actually, they were very popular. Everybody knew who the prophet was, but it was a tough job because not always did the kings want to hear what God had to say. Not always did the people want to hear when God said, "You're doing things wrong and I need you to change." And so many of them had very violent deaths and difficult times. And I can't think of a prophet that would have had it worse than Ezekiel. Ezekiel was the time, he lived sometime between 700 and 600 years before Jesus was born, in a time in which God's people were refugees. They had lost in a battle, they had been taken far away by the Assyrians and put in refugee, what we would call today refugee camps, and they were forced to work as slaves. And so Ezekiel is not only a slave living in a camp, but he also then is called to prophesy. And his message to God's people is, don't give up hope. You're still in God's plan. God is with us. God sees us. God hears our prayers. And God has a plan. But first of all, we need to purify ourselves. Because the reason God allowed the army to come and destroy our homeland and the people left to be taken as captives was because we had gotten so far away from what God's plan for us was. So he's saying, purify yourselves, and God has hope. All right, without any more to do, I'm going to call my actors. We pulled from the kids that go to Children's Church and then some of the dads and some of the young ladies that help us in Children's Church and the oldest nursery class. So we're going to ask everybody, that Ezekiel and the Spirit of the Lord, stay where you are, but everybody else who's going to play the part of dead army, come on up and let me get you like in the center of the upper stage. And yeah, come as nicely as you can. This is a vast dead army. And as always, we'll ask you, to all my actors, just to do whatever the Bible says. I'm going to read it straight out of God's word. If it says you did something, do that. If it says you said something, say that. I am going to ask the first time that you're called on, if you would please wave, so that way everybody knows who is who in the skit. Okay, dead army, how we doing? All right. Actually, what do you think, crowd? They look like a good dead army. Well, I wondered how many to get. It just says in the scripture it's vast. And I thought, well, we're usually 200 or a little more than 200 on a Sunday. So I thought, well, maybe try to get 10%, because of 10% of a population being in the army, that's a pretty good number. So anyway, we tried to get about 15 or 20 in this vast army. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I should tell the crowd too. Everything, Ezekiel writes this, so everything is in the first person. So whenever it says I, it's from Ezekiel's point of view. Ezekiel, why don't you stand and wave to the crowd? Because it never really says Ezekiel. Okay. Actually it says the hand of the Lord's Spirit was on me. The hand of the Lord's Spirit was on me, and he brought me by the Spirit of the Lord and took me into the middle of a valley. The valley was full of dry bones. The Spirit led me back and forth among the bones. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, back and forth among the bones. And forth. The bones were very dry. And then, if you guys might want to face the crowd now, you're going to talk for a little bit. All right. And the Spirit asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said to him, "O sovereign Lord, only you know that." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." How do you do, crowd? That's a long part. Good job, Polly. So then I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise that sounded like rattling. And the bones started coming together, bone to bone. And I looked and I saw tendons and flesh began appearing on the bones. And then skin covered them, but there still was no breath in them. Oh, I think the rattling stopped. Thank you. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O son of man. And say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into the slain, that they may live. So then I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. Wow, it's a three-dimensional show today, isn't it? And they came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. They then arrayed themselves as if for battle. They array as if for battle. And then they marched off to war. Then the Spirit of the Lord said to me, and Polly, this is really long, so I'm just going to read it. And you, can you like act like you're speaking to Ezekiel? Yeah, thank you. Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, you will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Hey, can we give all of our actors and actresses a fine round of applause? Good job, everybody. Hey, I want to talk about it so we make sure we understand it, and then we'll see what God is speaking to us through that. I'm going to ask a few questions so we can just pick a little meat off the bones. All right, at the beginning of this vision, what does the Lord show Ezekiel? What does the Lord show Ezekiel? Shows him a valley of dry bones. What do you think this represents? All right. They have lost the army. They watched their army get defeated in battle. So it's easy, I think, for them to realize that he's showing them their army that lost. But what does an army represent to a nation? That's its defense. That's its protection. That's who keeps it safe and keeps law and order. And they had lost this. And even to make the illustration deeper, he says it's in a valley. What does a mountaintop represent? Yeah, good times, success, joy, happiness. But this is a valley full of dry bones. And what did God tell Ezekiel to say to these bones? Yeah, he said, rise up. He said, tell them to start growing tendons, start growing muscle, start growing skin. And then he puts his breath into them. He's going to rise them up. Remember, these are people who are slaves. What do slaves pray about often? Freedom. So what are they? I heard somebody scream it. It just made me think of that movie. What's the one where Braveheart? Yeah. Freedom! And God is telling them, I'm hearing you. Because do slaves have an army? No. So the fact that God says, I'm going to give you an army, he's saying to them what? I'm going to give you your freedom. And he even says, I will send you back to Israel, because that was the other thing they were praying for. They wanted to go home. It's important for us to remember, God gives help to the helpless. God gives hope to the hopeless. And God gives power to the powerless. Let's say those again. God gives help to the helpless. He gives hope to the hopeless, and he gives power to the powerless. And sometimes we feel that way. And we need to remember that God is always with us. He is always with us. He sees us in our darkest and most difficult times, and he has a plan for us. And his message to us today is the same as it was to them then. Purify yourself, and then I will restore you. God is with us all the time. Final question I have for you, then we'll move on, is do you remember at the very beginning of the story, before we got into any of the action, God asked Ezekiel a question. What was that question?
Freedom.
Oh, wait, where's my Ezekiel in spirit? What was the very first question that was asked? He said, can these bones live? Can these bones live? What is he asking? He's saying, hey, can the impossible happen? In your life, Ezekiel, can the impossible happen? And Ezekiel gives the most perfect answer. He says what? What were your only speaking part, Aaliyah? He said, only you can answer that. Isn't that a perfect answer? Only God can do miracles. And Ezekiel realized that. He says, yes, if you want them to live, they'll live. If you don't want them to live, they won't. I think our main point of the lesson is that sometimes, like Israel, we feel powerless. We feel hopeless. We feel helpless. We feel like we're in a valley, and then the army that was supposed to protect us has been long gone. Gone so long that they've now only just become dried bones. And we need to remember that God is with us at all times. God hears our prayers. God sees our condition. And God loves us and has a plan for us. And we know that plan is that we would purify ourselves and that he would heal us. He's always with us. He always loves us. Interesting part to me was, again, the usage of words. Do you remember when God created in the book of Genesis how God created? He created with words. He would say, let there be light, and there would be light. Let there be land, there would be. Let there be water, there would be water. Exactly. Whatever God said happened. See, that's why God cannot lie. If God came to church today and said, you know what? The sky is red. You know what would happen immediately? The sky would turn red because his creative voice cannot lie because him saying it would make it happen. He gave that power to his son Jesus. Remember when Jesus would say to the man who was lame, rise and walk, what would happen? He'd rise and walk. When he said to the blind man, receive sight, he's out on a boat that's stormy, and he would say, peace be still. And even one time he went to see Lazarus on day 4 of the funeral, and he says to Lazarus, come forth, and what does Lazarus do? Always with words. That gives me hope. That gives me strength. That all I need from God is one word to change my condition, to change my life. That's the power of prayer. We talk to God. God talks to us and his words. And until that day when he says, like we're told in Revelation chapter 20, when he says the words, it is finished, and this world becomes ended and the next world begins, all we need from the word, or from the Lord, is one word. Would you say a word of prayer with me? I look at it, a word of prayer. And then we're going to go on to our books, learning the books of the New Testament. But first, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for today and for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Thank you for the people coming to learn and to encourage and to help. Father, we know that church is so much more than songs and preaching, but it's the encouragement we get. It's the encouragement we give to one another as we fellowship. So, Father, we just want to pray for your blessing over the word that is preached, over the songs that are sung to your glory. Father, bless this as we learn the scriptures. Bless us as we learn a memory verse. And bless us as we bless one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we have been learning the books of the New Testament in Children's Church, and I thought it'd probably be good for you guys to learn them as well, because a lot of people say they don't like to read the Bible because they don't understand the Bible. They open it up and they feel lost inside this vast book of 66 other books. So we told the kids that the first half of the Bible is called, who knows what the first half of the Bible is called? The Old Testament. The second half of the Bible is called the New Testament. And what's the difference between them? Jesus. Everything before Jesus is Old Testament. Everything after Jesus is New Testament. So we've been learning the books of the New Testament. There are 27, and we're about 3/4 of the way done. But let's go ahead and look at the first 6, if we could, please. Oh, here they are. Oh, yeah, go back to them, Brad. I'm sorry. I forgot that slide was there. There they are, the 27 books of the New Testament. We're going to have them memorized probably next month. But let's go ahead then to the next slide. See if we can memorize the first 6 together. The first 4 are the Gospels, about books about Jesus, and then Acts, and then begin Paul's letters with Romans and following. But would you say these with me out loud, please? The books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. One more time. The books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. We're going to say them one more time. If you think you know them, look at me, not at the screen, okay? The books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Good job. Let's see if we can do some more of Paul's letters. This would be the first half. Do you think we can do it, group? Who thinks we can do it? There you go. All right, yeah, if you know them, if you remember them from last time we were together, then, yeah, just look at me the whole time. But we're going to add together. We'll go through them just so you know how they're pronounced. These are all towns that Paul wrote letters to. So it's 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Would you say those with me one more time? 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. The books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Who did it without looking? Whoa, good job, body. Good job. Now I'm going to push you. We're going to try to learn the next six books, I think it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, it's 8. But they're easy because there's 1 and 2 ones. All right. These are 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Would you repeat these after me, please? 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus. Philemon. Hebrews. James. Easy way to remember the ones that start with the letter T, they're in alphabetical order. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. And then Paul switches naming his books from the city they were written to the person they're written to. So anyway, let's do those all together, the new ones. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Who thinks we can do it all from Matthew to James? Oh, we got some true believers up here. Actually, it was only little hands that was up. Look, hey, guys, look around. It's only the little people that believe. Okay, the books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Okay, everybody stand up. If you can. All right. We're going to say the books of the New Testament as far as we know them. And as soon as we get to one that you don't remember, we're going to ask you to sit down and we're going to see who is still left standing at the end. All right. And, oh, thank you, Brad. No cheaters. All right. The books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Look how many are standing. Good job.